Arizona News Radio. The two candidates for the U.S. Senate seat held by John Kyle meet the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. Rich Carmona, the former U.S. Surgeon General who was an independent, explained why he became a Democrat.
I chose Democrat because it was a closer fit. But you know what? It's not a perfect fit. I'm fiscally conservative.
But Republican Jeff Flake had another take.
You are a quick study because the positions that we've seen are right in line with President Obama if there is a position.
Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babiu wants to use armed but unpaid posse to help in the battle against drug smugglers.
This is an effort to use citizens who have military training and experience and law enforcement training and experience that come to volunteer in direct support of our sheriff's office.
Flagstaff police looking for suspects, a puppy found hanging from its own doghouse.
Someone had entered her yard against her consent and without permission and hung a four-month-old puppy.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This KFNX traffic check is brought to you by 99 Cent Only Stores. Look out there, guys. We've got a few accidents in the area. If you're in Phoenix, Highway 51 southbound, south of McDowell Road, exit 1. Also in Phoenix, I-17 southbound near 7th Street. If you're in Chandler, use some caution. There's a serious accident at Cooper Road at East Pecos Road. And in Tempe, they're clearing an accident I-10 westbound near US 60. It's tailgating time at 99 Cent Only Stores. Feed your hungry fans those halftime snacks. Pick up chips, pretzels, peanuts, and popcorn for only 99.99 cents each. Now here's your afternoon forecast with Jim.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, this big California storm is right on our western doorstep. Very windy tomorrow afternoon. Some scattered late afternoon and evening showers around the deserts with tomorrow's high only 88. Then Friday, partly cloudy, only 78. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently in Midtown, we're at 93 degrees. Your next news update in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You are listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm James Hennett, and you're up to date.
I'm back with Micah Panzik, manager of the 911 CPR program at the Arizona Department of Health Services. Does dispatch-assisted CPR really promise to save lives in Arizona?
Absolutely. We've helped reduce the time to start of CPR by a full minute at one of the largest 911 agencies in the state. A drop of this magnitude could increase survival by 7 to 10% in the communities the agency serves. We'll indeed save lives across Arizona in the months and years ahead. For more information, visit 9-1-1, cprdispatch.azshare.gov.
And here you are, ladies. Today's dessert special.
Jen, do you smell that? Smells like rotten eggs.
Could it be a gas leak? We need to call Southwest Gas.
Southwest Gas?
They add a rotten egg odorant to their gas, so you know right away if there's a leak.
Excuse me, ladies, but you need to leave the restaurant. We might have a gas leak.
Hey, what about my dessert?
You'll have to save those calories for later.
If you ever smell the rotten egg odor, call Southwest Gas and 911 any time of the day. Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Thank you for the introduction, but unfortunately that is a fraud we just perpetrated on the public, because this is your host for today, Jack Willinchek. Although I will say that my father, Dennis Willinchek, has been kind enough to grace the studio, and also sitting across from me, it is a very rare treat. I have my sister, Caitlin Willinchek, who is just graduated with a degree in journalism and is here to learn more about the fine craft. Right, Katie?
Yep.
Good. All right, today, as usual, we'll be discussing a variety of topics. We'll be talking about a couple propositions that are up for vote. The first one we'll be talking about is Proposition 115, which we talked about this on the show, I think it was a week or two ago, and we had on somebody who was in support of Proposition 115, and I got to say that segment confused the heck out of me. It probably confused the heck out of our audience, too, and I'm hoping for some more clarity here from our guest today. The proposition basically has to do with some tweaks to the process of judicial merit selection. For those of you in the audience listening, merit selection refers to the process by which judges are appointed by the governor. Before they get appointed, they have to go through a certain process that's at least intended to vet them and make sure that we get qualified people. So let's turn to our guest.
And, of course, just let me add, that's in Maricopa and Pima counties. The rest of the counties, they still vote.
Exactly. The way that the last guest explained it, there's, I think, a cutoff in terms of population of the county. So Maricopa and Pima, which are populous counties, have the merit selection system. And then in the rest of the counties, you have elected judges. But let's turn to our guest, Jojean Mills, who I think can probably explain this better than certainly I can. Jojean, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for coming on the show. You're the
sure,
chair.
Happy to.
Absolutely. You're the chair of the No on Prop 115 committee. Explain to the audience why are you against this proposition?
Well, let me just add to what you just said.
Sure.
This involves three counties because Pinal County just qualified. So
right.
This is the trial judges in Pinal, Pima, and Maricopa counties, but also the courts of appeals in Phoenix and Tucson and the Arizona Supreme Court.
Right.
Those judges are selected through merit selection. I know last time you talked about that, but real basically, it means that there's a judicial nominating commission that's made up of 15 members, 10 lay people who are appointed by the governor, 5 lawyer members who are appointed through a nomination process from the State Bar of Arizona. Then the lawyers go to advise and consent by the Senate, and then they're appointed by the governor. She has to appoint the lawyer members from the list from the state bar. Then those nominating commissions do this huge investigation of the applicants for any judicial vacancy, and then they nominate people to the governor. They send at least 3 names, sometimes more, to the governor, and then she chooses the judge. That's the merit selection system that we have now, and I got to tell you, it is so widely praised across the nation. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce in 2009 listed it as the model for the nation.
Arizona's system of judicial merit selection.
Absolutely. 2009 yeah. Report by the Legal Reform Institute or something like that of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said Arizona leads the nation with the procedures it's put in place to fulfill the promise of true nonpartisan merit selection. So we've had this in place through our Constitution since 1974. And then we amended it in, I believe it was in the 1990s, to add a component to it of the judicial performance review, where there's this huge performance review that every judge goes through that's selected through merit selection. And that also is a best practices that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce recommends. So why am I against it?
Yeah.
Because it's a great system. And you know what we don't hear about in Arizona? We don't hear about judge scandals. You know, we keep hearing about tweaks, and by the way, this is not a tweak. This is a huge change in several ways that I'll talk about.
Okay.
But you never hear about bad things, about judges being corrupt. We may disagree with their decisions, but we have very good judges. Even the people that I disagree with are excellent judges. You just never hear about either the people on the nominating commissions being corrupt or the judges. So why are we even hearing about changes? Well, because frankly, from my point of view, the politicians want to take control of it. And so here's what Proposition 115 would do and why so many people are against it. And by the way, this isn't just me. This is the League of Women Voters. This is several nonprofits here in Arizona.
I saw there's a lot of former Supreme Court justices even that have come out against it.
All of the former Supreme Court justices that are living have opposed it.
Oh, wow.
17 former state bar presidents are against it. And then just a massive number of lawyers. Because here's what it would do. There's 3 parts that are really problematic. One, it would change who gets to pick the lawyer members, okay? So the governor gets to pick the 10 lay people. Well, the politicians want the governor to pick 4 of the 5 lawyer members. So now she's got 14 out of 15 of the picks. I think it's great that the state bar has involvement because, frankly, the lawyers that get on the appellate nominating commission, they're not interested in politics. They're the consumers of the system. They want the best judges they can get. So for the lawyers who are on the commissions, it's all about merit. It's about who's going to make the best judge. Because a political agenda doesn't necessarily mean that any particular judge is going to be good for any particular clients. So it's worked really well. So to give the governor 14 out of 15 appointments on the commission when she's already got 10, that's just not necessary. And I heard Kathy Herod say that there are these insiders, these unelected lawyers who are on the commission. But remember, they get confirmed by the Senate. And the Arizona Senate has refused to send some lawyer members. Tom Chandler, who's a very respected lawyer down here in Tucson, was rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee to sit on the commission. So it's not right to say that they're not accountable. They certainly are.
Let me just stop you for a second. Under this new proposition, would the members, again, be still confirmed by the Senate?
Yes.
Okay, so that part doesn't change.
That part doesn't change.
Okay.
But to say that they're not accountable to the electoral process is not right because of that component of it. So that has the governor taking over who gets on the nominating commissions. Second, then the nominating commissions, they're required to send at least three names. This would change it to require them to send eight names. And so, for example, the last time there was a vacancy on Division I Court of Appeals, only eight people applied. And one of them was clearly unqualified. But no matter what, all eight of those names would have gone up. And the requirement that they be from both parties, that's gone. So the nominating commission, now controlled by the governor, would send all partisan names up to her. And they have to send people who, frankly, would not be as qualified. The way the commissions work now, and the three names that are up at the governor right now for our Arizona Supreme Court, extremely important. What the commission did was they vetted them all, they did their due diligence, they interviewed them all, then in a public hearing, they did a vote. And when they looked at the number of votes that each individual of all the people who applied got, there were three that were heads and tails above the rest. And so those were the three names that went up. So this would require that eight names would go up, and we've just seen that that's going to result in people who are less qualified. In other words, if there's a political crony of a governor of either party, that person's probably going to go up to the governor, and the governor's going to take control.
So just to back up here for a moment and give maybe a little bit more of an overview, my sense of what's going on here is that there's a certain push to change our system to become more like the federal system, where, you know, in the federal system, the president will appoint a judge, and then the judge has to be confirmed by the Senate, I think. So this is something of a compromise between that, you know, just going straight to the federal system where the government has almost total power, you know, subject to a confirmation vote. It's a compromise between that and our current system.
Well, it is almost just the federal system, which, by the way, we've seen some pretty awful political battles over. And as Justice O'Connor said, Sandra Day O'Connor said about this, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why do we need to do this when our system is held up by the Chamber of Commerce?
But Jojean, wasn't this really, this is Dennis, wasn't this really sort of a compromise, as I understand it?
Let me talk about the compromise. It was an extorted compromise. And I use the word extorted because that's the word that was used by Pete Dunne, who's the lobbyist for the Judges Association. The judges in the state bar were told by the legislature, if you don't do this, then it may be elections of judges, it may be Senate confirmations of judges, there was issues over pensions, and so the current judges and the current state bar decided it'd be better to compromise. The rest of us, who strongly opposed that, we understood why they did it. We know what political compromises look like. But why mess with a system that is so respected?
But, I mean, the answer, that's what I'm trying to get to. The answer is, even if everybody agreed with you 100% on everything you've said so far, which is, you know, I don't take any issue with anything you've said, but the bottom line is the legislature apparently doesn't see it that way. There's a large push, as I understand it, to even do away with the entire merit selection system and put it back to the same way it was in the 70s when I first got here. So, I mean, isn't this realistically the best we can do with this right now, which is why the judges finally compromise and agree to it? Because if they don't, we're going to get something a heck of a lot worse, aren't we?
Well, but Dennis, just think about this. Okay, so people in the legislature a year ago made this deal. What's to stop people in the legislature a year from now from going
nothing.
Ahead and put an election?
No, nothing. You're right. That's exactly right.
So
you're absolutely right.
We have to defeat this to show them that the people of Arizona support this system.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Why we
that's a good comment.
And let me add, do I have one more thing, the third thing that it does? Do I have
time? We just got about a minute, yeah.
Here's the third thing, and this is really wacky, and Dennis, you'll get this. For the first time, this would grant the legislature the power to hold hearings and take testimony on judges who are up for retention.
Yeah, that's
now,
a bit much,
about
I agree.
That.
I didn't know that was
wow. Senate Judiciary is going to hold hearings. They can subpoena judges, haul them up to the Capitol, and grill them.
Yeah, that's pretty
like
bad. That's in the current proposal.
Yes.
See, I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't studied this.
You know, we didn't either, and my committee, real frankly, we were so understanding of about the nominating commissions and everything.
Yeah.
That this
that was overlooked.
This is huge.
That was huge.
I mean, who's going to want to be a judge
no.
if you know you can be subpoenaed up to the legislature and grilled about some decision you made without the full facts in front of anybody.
Well, who's going to answer any questions about it either? That's ridiculous. Yeah, I agree.
Well, yeah. I mean, the intimidation of judges that'll go on with that.
No, that's a great point, actually. I'm amazed that that hasn't been heard. I hadn't heard that before. Yeah.
Me too. And so
that's a great point.
That in and of itself is a good enough reason to vote against it.
All right. You know, I want to thank you for coming on the show, Jolene. Jo-Jean. This has been very, very educational.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
this is
take care.
This is Jack Wilenchek, okay. Dennis Wilenchek, and Katie Wilenchek on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Is your website at the top of Google? Go to SEOPhoenix.com for a free search engine optimization report. SEO Phoenix is the only company in Arizona to offer a search engine ranking guarantee. That's right, guarantee. We are Arizona's SEO rock stars. Grow your business and get to the top. Go to SEOPhoenix.com for your free SEO report. That's SEOPhoenix.com, SEOPhoenix.com.
As a student and teacher of dance for more than 20 years, JAD's mission is to create a rich learning environment for the advancement of an art that can transform people's lives. Visit dancewithchad.com today and choose the dance class that best suits your lifestyle. Email us today. That's chad@dancewithchad.com. If you have a desire to learn how to dance and have an open mind, Chad can teach anyone, anywhere, anytime. Log on today. That's dancewithchad.com.
Do you want safe, healthy, great-tasting water? The free video series at watertreatmenttips.com was developed by a certified water specialist with over 25 years of experience. It answers the most frequently asked questions, the questions you should be asking every water treatment company. Learn the definitions, get thorough explanations, and the pros and cons of available systems. Become an informed, empowered consumer at watertreatmenttips.com, where education is our goal. Get your free educational video series today at watertreatmenttips.com.
Every day is a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Right now at My Trade America, you can get a barter line of credit from $2,000 to $50,000 with no credit check. We'll help you boost your business big time to lower your cash costs and generate new sales. With services available like advertising, website design, signage and bookkeeping, and personal services like restaurant, auto repair, and vacation rentals, get the barter line of credit you need today, $2,000 to $50,000 at My Trade America, mytradeamerica.com. Fees and restrictions apply.
Amazing grace.
Hi, I'm Michelle Baer. As a conservative Christian inspirational singer, I've just released my fourth CD titled To God and Country, to keep patriots like you inspired to make a difference. Purchase now for you and a friend, only $10 each at michellebaermusic.com. That's michellebaermusic.com.
Oh, sweet.
I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilenchek along with Dennis Wilenchek and Katie Wilenchek. And for the next segment, we're going to be talking about another proposition, Prop 204, which you may have heard about. It would be to it's in regards to that tax hike, the 1 cent tax hike. And, you know, it's supposed to phase out. This proposition is to keep it around. And at least ostensibly, it's going to send the money to the public education system. But you got a lot of people come out against it, in particular Doug Ducey, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. And we're going to have on the line here, if we've got him, Tom Jenny, Arizona Director of Americans for Prosperity. I think we're still waiting for Tom, though. So,
Dennis, well, you know, I want to just mention, Jack, yeah. While we're waiting for Tom Jenny, we were told he'd be able to delay a little bit. But, you know, this whole judicial selection thing is really fascinating to me, the lack of information that we have on it. I mean, even as lawyers, we don't have a lot of time to study these things. I was not aware of that position that Joe Jean Mills just described for us. And I guess her point is if it's not broken, don't mess with it. I think it's just another, you know, power
yeah,
issue
that's
between
what
the governor.
Said.
Yeah. But, you know, when I first moved out here, you had, you know, pure election of judges, just like any political office. And then they started the merits review process, where I was head of that commission, actually, for the county bar, where we actually ran that.
Yeah.
And what that was an attempt to at least rate the judges, because nobody voting knew who these people even were. I still don't know half of them. I went over the list, and I practiced for 34 years here in the courts, and I don't know half of the people.
A lot of judges in a big county like Maricopa. It's over 100.
Yeah, so I didn't know half of them at least. And so I can appreciate that people just don't know who to vote for, so they ask friends, lawyer friends, whatever. But sometimes the lawyer friends don't know. And so the response to that was to have sort of a commission to judge, you know, who these judges are, in the sense of letting the public know. And of course, if they get a really low score and rating, then it's publicized. But very rarely does that happen, because again, most people, you know, don't know enough about these people to even give them a low score. So it's a perpetual process in a big county like this, or Pinal, or Pima, to really keep track of these judges. And as a result, some of them, you know, get re-elected. Because the election can be a joke, because nobody knows who they're voting for.
Yeah, I always thought the re-election process was a little bit silly. I mean, you always got like the same, you know, 2/3 vote
know,
in favor of every reconfirming.
Yeah, election. Very rarely does anybody not get re-elected, and that's kind of silly too, as you say. But the reality is, you know, you can argue this a lot, and I think it's worthy of another show, really, to get really into this even deeper, because it's kind of fascinating to me that this is going on, and most people don't even know anything about it, and the judiciary is so important.
You know what I wonder, though, is really just how much of a difference it makes in the end, because in the federal system, you've got some extremely qualified judges, and that system is basically an appointee system. You've got the president appointing federal judges who are then confirmed.
Right, but that's true. And generally, because of the senator, the senior senator in the state is the one that recommends those judges of the control party in control, of course.
Right.
So lately, I think it's been Kyle, although technically it's supposed to be McCain because he's the senior judge, but I think he defers that or has deferred it to John Kyle, because John Kyle is a lawyer. But having said that, I think, you know, they vet out a lot of people in the process. But you know, you got to keep in mind too that the federal system, they have two law clerks. You know, just in the district court, whereas the Superior Court judges don't have any.
That's a good point.
So when you say they have good judges, they do, but
they've got good staff.
They're good judges in the Superior Court, because most of the judges, if you take a look at it, in the federal court are really former Superior Court judges, almost to a person. It's very rare that anybody gets appointed to the federal bench without being a prior state court judge. So we have a good state court judiciary. The issue is, you know, to me, the issue is ignorance, that most of us don't know much about this system and how it works. And I think it's really helpful, don't you guys, to have
Well, Dennis, you've been around – let me ask you this. You've been around a while, heck of a lot longer than I've been.
Too long.
And you've seen the judges, you know, under the old system, the elected system, and under the merit selection system. So I know you've – I mean, I don't want to ask
have
you
a, no, I didn't have
better,
a,
but
– No, I was a bailiff down there. No, I was a bailiff down there when I was an intern at the Supreme Court. They just started this process, in fact, so it was really hot at the time back in like 77.
The merit selection process.
Yeah, the merit selection process. There was a lot of discussion about it. Truthfully, I have to say, notwithstanding that I don't disagree with a lot of what Joe Jean said, I didn't have this big problem with the judges that were elected. In fact, I thought a lot of them – I'm sure a lot of lawyers may disagree. I thought a lot of them were darn good judges. There were a few bad ones. A few bad ones in those days in Arizona, because, of course, Arizona back in the 70s is a different state than it is today. You know, for example, there was a guy named Fritz Marquardt, whose dad was the head of the paper. Well, he was clearly unqualified to be a judge. He was later thrown off the bench, as I recall it, picked up on a marijuana charge or something. He shouldn't have ever been on the bench. He was just
even when you're elected, though, you have to have at least a law degree, right?
He was a lawyer and everything. Yeah. He was just clearly –
That's not the case for justice of the peace. You know, you don't even have to have a degree for that.
No, you don't have to have any degree.
Yeah.
And they make almost as much as the judges. But, yeah. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I wasn't. But, I mean, I could say that to me, as a young person, and I have a hard time understanding these things because I'm not yet an attorney, but I think that it sounds like people just fear change. It sounds like the system was working, and then they were afraid to change it.
That's true. They changed it,
and now they're afraid to change it back. And I think either way, it's going to work.
Whenever there's a new law or a new proposition, there's people just fear any kind of change.
Yeah.
But,
like I said,
it was never broke.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, like I said, there were a few bad apples, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Which was amended.
There were three judges I can remember. There was one I won't mention that never really did a lot of work. There was another judge who really was unqualified. There were a few bad apples, but I'm not certain that there aren't some bad apples, you know, in the same vein today.
Of course, it's like any other profession or the job. You always got people who shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would guess that under an elected system, I mean, you definitely get a different caliber of judge. You got a kind of judge who's who can convince a crowd of people and get along with a crowd of people and convince them to vote for him. So, you know, you probably don't get as studious as a judge.
Yeah, you're either personable, good with the public, or you're smart. It's like the presidential
debate right
now. It seems obvious
that you would end up with more political judges under election.
Well, I think that's the whole point here, is that what they're trying to do, and there may be some validity to it, is to change the personality on the bench. In other words, I think the current administration, and I'm guessing at this, I don't know this, probably sees that there's a certain ilk on the bench that's maybe, you know, too liberal or whatever. And I think the attempt is to try to change that around through the governor's appointments. And that may be a legitimate thing for her to do. I mean, that's part of her job. All right, well, it sounds like we're going to have to take a break now. I don't know where Tom Jenny is, but that was an interesting conversation. So,
family
combo. What do we got coming up next?
All right, well, we got to sign off here real quick. This is Jack Wilnchek, Katie Wilnchek, Dennis Wilnchek, and Penn Talk 1100 KFNX.
Coverage you can count on around the clock. News, Jim Howell on weather, and the KFNX traffic team. Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
ABC News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. In a case that could affect affirmative action in college admissions programs, U.S. Supreme Court justices vigorously challenged a University of Texas program today. UT President Bill Power says more progress is needed.
Still is a need to make sure that our campuses and our military and our businesses are diverse, because they are working and will be living in a very diverse world.
The attorney for the plaintiff questions how long affirmative action programs must go on.
The absence of equal protection was a sin in this country for a long, long time, and we're simply trying to say those rights belong to everybody.
A panel of federal judges in Washington has upheld South Carolina's voter identification law. The judges ruled that the law does not discriminate against minorities, but they did delay the law's implementation until 2013. In financial news today, Standard & Poor's has downgraded Spain's credit rating to BBB-, one notch above junk status. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. The two candidates for the U.S. Senate seat held by John Kyle meet the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. Rich Carmona, the former U.S. Surgeon General who was an independent, explained why he became a Democrat.
I chose Democrat because it was a closer fit, but you know what? It's not a perfect fit. I'm fiscally conservative.
But Republican Jeff Flake had another take.
You are a quick study because the positions that we've seen are right in line with President Obama, if there is a position.
Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babiu wants to use armed but unpaid posse to help in the battle against drug smugglers.
This is an effort to use citizens who have military training and experience and law enforcement training and experience that come to volunteer in direct support of our sheriff's office.
Flagstaff police looking for suspects, a puppy found hanging from its own doghouse.
Someone had entered her yard against her consent and without permission and hung a four-month-old puppy.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This KFNX traffic check is brought to you by Bank of Arizona. Guys, we've got a few accidents out there. If you're in Buckeye, look out for Highway 85 southbound at Country Route 85. Also in Chandler, there's a serious accident, Cooper Road at East Pecos Road. And in Goodyear, there's been a vehicle rollover at Estrella Parkway, southbound south of the I-10. Even the most nimble companies need stability they can count on. Bank of Arizona offers reliable strength with local responsiveness. Bank of Arizona, long live your money. Member FDIC. And here's your afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, this big California storm is right on our western doorstep. Very windy tomorrow afternoon. Some scattered late afternoon and evening showers around the deserts, with tomorrow's high only 88. Then Friday, partly cloudy, only 78. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently in Midtown, we're at 93 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You are listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm James Sinnott, and you're up to date.
Survival K Food, your best choice for tasty beef, chicken, turkey, and pork. Like many preppers, I have an assortment of food stored up, including beans, honey, and wheat, along with some dehydrated items. Well, thanks to Survival K Food, now you can add tasty, quality, real meat to your food storage plan. Survival K Food meats boast a 15-year shelf life when stored at room temperature, but the best feature is its amazing home-cooked taste. Go to theprepperpatch.com to order Survival K Food meats and add quality, real meat solutions to your long-term food storage plan.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Business owners, in this economy, some consider it an accomplishment to merely survive. Well, it's time to move from surviving to thriving. If there's an easy way to tell exactly which of your marketing dollars are getting a return, and an easy way for you to see exactly how your salespeople are performing, would it seem too good to be true? Visualize how your company would look if your advertising becomes twice as effective because you're not wasting money on marketing that doesn't work. Add the sales rep tracking, and now you're in a position to thrive. We believe in making life easier for business owners. Use By the Numbers, the tracking software for sales and marketing. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and very affordable. No contracts required, no extra programming necessary. Call 480-652-9212 to schedule a free online demonstration today. That's 480-652-9212. Mention our anniversary for a special bonus. Again, call By the Numbers at 480-652-9212, 480-652-9212, or visit us online at getbythenumbers.com. GetByTheNumbers.com and start thriving today.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek along with Dennis Willinchek and Katie Willinchek making a special appearance as our special guest.
Well, now that she's out of school, she may be here more than a special
guest. Oh, boy.
This may become
over.
A job for her.
That's right.
All right, for the last half of the show, we're going to be talking to Jim Waring, who is a Phoenix City councilman. And, Jim, are you there on the phone?
I am here. Thanks very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you. I'll give the listeners a little bit of background here. Councilman Waring was sworn in as the District 2 Phoenix City Council representative on September 7th, 2011. So I guess you've been in office for a little bit over a year now.
Just a little bit. Believe, but yeah, we had the year anniversary, and I hope we've done a few good things in that first year.
Sure. Tell us about some of the things. Tell us about what you've done.
Well, one of the first things that I wanted to do when I got into office was lower the water bill. When I asked David Cavazos, who's the city manager, and he's been with the city for almost 30 years, I said, you know, has the water bill ever actually been lowered? Well, in his memory, it hadn't been. Nobody could seem to remember this. A couple of years prior, when the city was going through tough budget times, they had doubled the jail tax that appears on your water bill. So, well, it's not actually the water bill. It appears on your water bill, and most people refer it to as that, from $1 to $2. They blame the legislature for an increase in fees. When I really dug into the numbers when I got to the city, I didn't find that to be true. And I felt it was simply a money grab that was used to raise revenue on the backs of taxpayers who, let's face it, you're using water, you're going to be paying your water bill. I thought that was unnecessary. I thought it was raising millions of dollars. It wasn't simply going into a pool of money to pay for jails. You know, we contract with Maricopa County to house our prisoners. That's not the way it worked. It went straight to the general fund. And we got it reversed. To my surprise, I actually got 6 votes for that. That was back when Phil Gordon was still mayor. But we're really happy with that. That'll save taxpayers $7.5 million in total, roughly. You know, we don't know exactly, but that's about what it should be. And that'll save about $700 million this budget year, and we're real happy with that effort. I thought that got us off to a good start and set the tone for some of the things that a few of us in the council are trying to do in terms of reining in spending.
You know, Jim, hi, this is Dennis Willinchek.
Hey, Dennis.
You know, I have to say I supported you for Congress, contributed to your campaign, and have met you, although I'm not sure you remember. But anyway,
I remember, and I appreciate that very much. I'm sorry I dragged us both down to defeat.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
It's totally the fault of the candidate, Dennis. Totally the fault of the candidate.
Well, you're clearly the better candidate.
Not the donor.
But I was going to ask your take on that. That's why I raised it. I mean, I didn't raise it to revisit sore spots. But really, you ran for Congress, and you know, what is your thought now? Now, the district was probably redistricted since then, right?
It is, yeah.
And so today, what district would it have been in?
Have been in the district represented, voters would have seen Mr. Schweikert or Mr. Quayle on their ballot this time around.
So you would have been in that tough district.
Tough in the fact that one guy spent probably with independent expenditures about $3 million and the other spent probably north of two.
Yeah.
That would have been a tough race for just about anybody. So,
sure, absolutely.
We have terrific representation, I think, with Mr. Schweikert. I also think, I lost to Ben Quayle, but I thought he did a fine job in Congress. I supported David because, I've known him a long time and I think he works hard. But
it
was an interesting race to watch. So.
Absolutely. And do you have any plans in the future in that direction, or what are your plans?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I don't know what the future would hold with this. Obviously, we have a fine representative going forward starting in January in David Schweikert. I think he'll do a great job. I don't know that I would ever do that again. The fundraising is really, I got outspent in that race about 10-1. I lost by, I think 4 points or so.
Yeah.
So we kept it close, but there is no second place in this. You either win or you lose. And, going forward, I'm very happy on the city council. I really enjoyed it. I was a state senator, and I enjoyed that very much. It is kind of a cliche, but you really do get to do things like lower people's water bills or maybe enact laws that might save some lives. And I've enjoyed the work very much.
Yeah.
Don't know if I'll ever try to do something bigger or better than that again.
But, well, for what it's worth, I think that we're lucky. I don't live in Phoenix, but we're lucky to have the likes of you and guys like Bill Gates, who I think is also a great councilman as well, I might add. We appreciate your service. Tell us today, as my understanding, there was some news about redistricting. Is that right?
There was. The Justice Department signed off on the Phoenix redistricting plan. It had been pretty contentious. Some of your listeners may have followed it in the newspaper. It wasn't contentious for my district, which was sort of static. We had to lose about 19,500 people, and because of where my district is located, bordered between Scottsdale and Belda Williams District, which was the right size, plus Cave Creek Carefree and Anthem to the north. We could only really lose population to the south. But down in central Phoenix, there was quite a bone of contention between Mr. Narkowski and Mr. Johnson. Tempers flared a little bit, I think it's safe to say, given some of the comments that were hurled about both at the council meeting and later in print. But the Justice Department saw, I think, that it was a fair plan. There are a lot of stipulations that go into it. When you have the Justice Department reviewing this, you being an attorney probably very aware of that. But going forward, starting today, we're preparing for new districts, and we're excited about that. I'm sorry to lose, as I said, some population, but it's just our district grew faster than others.
Yeah.
We had to even it out. So, but we're excited in January having a new crop of constituents, and we'll look forward to going from there.
That's great. Yeah, appreciate that news. And what's the highest thing on your agenda going forward at the city council from your perspective?
Well, I think always, certainly I learned that as a state senator, you really have to come up with a budget. That is the number one priority. You can't move forward without it. And priorities and policy statements and so forth are great, but if you either don't cut something or put money into a program or fund something, then you're really not doing anything. So the budget is always something I keep a very close eye on. I voted against our budget this year. We still have, as probably a lot of your listeners are aware, we still have the food tax. It generates about $50 million a year. We are claiming a balanced budget, which is true if you include the $50 million food tax. I thought there were other things that we could trim. The pay raises, for example, we just gave our executives a $3 million pay raise, for example. They're already pretty well compensated. They already get the benefits that, again, people have probably read about in the paper and so forth. Plenty of vacation time and everything. I thought the compensation was fair, but our budget allowed for that increase. That's just one of the things that I found a little bit objectionable. I want people to make a fair wage, but I also felt that the raises that went into effect in the mid-2000s and the hiring that was done in the mid-2000s more than compensated for what happened in the downturn. Obviously, private sector people, lost their jobs and so forth. We really didn't have a lot of that at the city. So I thought going forward, get rid of the food tax, hold the line on spending, and let's see where we're at when we really come out of this recession, because we're not really quite there yet. But I did not carry the day in that, unfortunately. I think the budget was a 5-4 vote. That is one thing I think that's changed. I'd like to think my election has helped in that regard, in that it used to be a lot of these votes were 9-0. You didn't have a lot of debate. Apparently, the meetings were a lot shorter. And now you got a lot of folks asking questions, and it's not just me. Sometimes either my questions or others spur questions from other members, and I think that's a healthy thing. And I think it puts perhaps the staff a little more on the spot to answer some of these questions about what we're doing. But I think that's important, and going forward, I want taxpayers to know that that's the number one thing we're focused on. We could also talk about pension reform. We just passed a plan to save $600 million that can either be used for tax cuts or police and fire and so forth going forward over the next 23 years. Problem with it is, there were plans on the table to save up to $1 billion, too. And I and Sal DiCicco and Bill Gates, some of us really wanted to see a much more stringent plan, and unfortunately that didn't pass. We're happy with the $600 million. We all voted to save the $600 million. It's hard to vote against that.
Yeah.
But again, I might add a victory,
Yeah, we got about less than a minute, but I forgot to mention Sal DiCicco, who I think was in studio. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy, too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this real quickly before our break. You've talked about all these things. This food tax is really something that's on a lot of people's minds. Is there a chance, I know what you said just now, but is there a chance in the future that's going to go away? Because that's really a sore spot.
I pushed for the way it was enacted and everything I think was wrong. I pushed for a vote on that last fall, so it was a different council. It lost 5-4. I don't believe that the vote would be any different now. It will go away in another couple of years. I think it's going to play itself out. So I believe it's 2015 when it goes away. We'll have a $50 million budget hole. They're projecting economic growth to cover that. We'll see if that's actually true. I'd rather not count it now and be more conservative in our estimates going forward. But that's been the will of the council.
All right. Well, we'll pick up on that right after the break. Okay. This is Dennis and Jack Wilenchek and Katie Wilenchek. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Well, I just found out my wife's having an affair.
Wow. Did she tell you that?
No, not at first. I took some of her clothing to ArtPoint Labs, and they found some DNA that wasn't mine. She confessed after that.
Up to 60% of all married individuals engage in infidelity. ArtPoint Labs routinely performs all types of court-admissible DNA tests. Call ArtPoint Labs in Tempe for reliable and confidential DNA testing services. Call 602-753-2901. That's ArtPoint Labs, 602-753-2901.
And now an important message. Each year, many women fall victim to breast cancer. However, if detected, early steps can be taken towards the prevention and treatment of the silent predator. So please schedule a mammogram and have a checkup as soon as possible. This just may save your life. That's from AMCO Pool Service, serving all communities in the West Valley. For weekly pool maintenance, pool service, or pool repair, please call 623-932-9104. That's 623-932-9104. Or visit them on the web, amcopoolservice.com.
Heather Hunter is a professional psychotherapist with a truly refreshing holistic approach. Heather has drawn admiration as the therapist with a personal mission to keep everyone out of therapy. With her profound gift of inspiration, holistic vision, and insight, Heather will ignite a spark of personal power in you. To learn the key tools you'll need to quickly move forward in your life, call her to schedule a session today. Call Heather at 602-390-0295. That's 602-390-0295.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
The tea is up, the news is out, it's finally found me.
Welcome back to Legalese on KFNX 1100 AM. This is Jack Wilenchek along with Dennis Wilenchek and Katie Wilenchek. And we've been talking to Jim Waring, who's on the Phoenix City Council. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Jack.
Yeah, before we went to the break there, I had a question. I'd like to know how you're getting along with the mayor there, Greg Stanton.
Well, I get along with the mayor really well. We've known each other for a long time. When I was in the state senate, he was on the city council, so we would work together. Obviously, we come at things. I'm a Republican, a pretty conservative one, and he's a Democrat, and so we don't always agree, but we have a very respectful relationship. We're basically the same age, so we sort of have some things in common. We chat about sports and so forth. Obviously, sometimes the conversations get heated. People have seen that at the council meeting, but I think it's always been respectful. I think he understands the positions I take. I understand the positions he take. I understand he takes. I don't know that we're always going to change each other's minds, but I think we listen and have healthy debate. He is very good about letting us discuss the issues, even if he disagrees with the point of view, and I think that's a strength. I didn't serve with Mayor Gordon for a long period of time, but I know that was one of the things that some council members said. If you disagreed, sometimes you got cut off and so forth. I wasn't there, so I can't speak to that, but I know that's what I've heard. But this seems to be a new tone, and going forward, I think we can do great things in Phoenix. I mean, we've got, we're down to about 15,000 employees, where it was about 17,500. So we've got the lowest employee to citizen ratio we've had since 1970. Again, as someone who wants smaller government and less intrusive government, I think that's a good thing. Some may disagree, but I think our service ratings are actually up in that period. So people seem to think less is more.
Hey, Jim, let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
I'm kind of curious. I'm a downtown guy because I go to the courts a lot. And I've watched it over the last, 30-something years. Is there any hope for the downtown Phoenix, the heart of the city? I mean, it's always concerned me that we don't really have a very vibrant – it's gotten better. In fact, Jack lives down there.
Yeah, I do.
But, there's a problem down there, and it's been a perennial problem. Is there any plans that the city has? I know under Gordon it was really a big priority of his. I'm not sure in the current administration it is. But
it was a big priority. I think it should be a big priority. However, as someone who represents, the north part of Phoenix, we have Mayo Clinic, we have Desert Ridge. Shouldn't those be destination spots?
Oh, absolutely.
Well? And, I think I know exactly what you're saying. For example, I guess I'll give a plug to them. I always enjoyed going to Oregano's for lunch, and they had a restaurant right downtown by the ballpark, and they closed.
Exactly.
Like, how could you close? You're packed all the time. They're like, we're packed for lunch.
That's
we
right.
We can move to Scottsdale, over in Shea and, I forget, Scottsdale and Shea,
yeah,
I think
is
where they're at now. And they're like, we can be packed all the time.
Right.
And so it speaks exactly to your point. It has improved a lot. I moved to the Valley in 1991, and there was no ballpark, and, America West was new and everything. But, is it ever going to be a destination like maybe downtown Chicago is? I'm not sure. We've got ASU coming in. They're talking about putting a law school down there. I think that, provides some hope. You get younger folks and everything. But I think that sometimes is a little overblown.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that people really want to see, the golf courses and everything, aren't downtown.
No.
And so maybe I'm just being parochial because District 2 is out more on the edges. But
right.
I look at Desert Ridge or Kierland. I look at the golf courses and the amenities we have up there. I'm not surprised that people choose to either stay home on the weekends or visitors tend to stay up there.
It's just that
when you put it in that context.
The way I look at it, every great city has a heart. And everything you said is true. But you have to have a heart to a city and a compressed area where people can walk around, mingle, meet each other. The problem with Phoenix is, of course, is it's not a town where you walk around any place like some other cities. So is there anything on the horizon other than the law school that I've heard now so many times that you know of that's coming downtown or that's in the works or that the city's planning on doing downtown to just give it a boost, make it more interesting? For example – they took away the only park downtown, which was, not much of a park, but it was something. Now that's gone even. So, now you've got a concrete walkway with a little patch of grass. Is there any thought of putting anything like a park or some amenity down there to bring people, draw people to a center of or heart of a city? Or is this council sort of given up on it?
I mean, I wouldn't say given up, but I would say that the focus on that may have shifted. You'd have to ask Mayor Stanton about his focus.
Yeah.
He I think he took some heat, I think unfairly so, because he focused a lot on Mayo as opposed to the downtown medical facilities, which were certainly the priority under Mayor Gordon. I think his point is well taken. There's room
for two developed areas in that industry. And I think it's important for the Valley to have those. I think Mayo is equally as important as what's going on downtown with the medical campus.
Yeah. I think Mayo is an unbelievable facility. Don't get me wrong.
It's something, it's an amenity for the city that, you know, just everybody else doesn't have.
Yeah.
But I think we have that going for us. I think it also speaks a little bit, not unlike Los Angeles and other Western cities. We tended to sprawl. We had a lot of land, and people coming from back east wanted to spread out, and so we did. And I'm not sure that you'll ever see a concentrated area like you're talking about. Doesn't mean give up on the concept, but it does mean, do I want to make that a sole focus of any council or administration? I would argue no. I certainly will do what I can to, you know, bring amenities downtown if it's possible. But at this point, you know, we're a little bit landlocked. There isn't tons of empty places to put parks or anything else down there at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you probably will see some office spaces and developments. People have come in and talked to me about such projects just in my year on the council. And that's a good thing because, of course, for a couple of years, there really wasn't any of that going on. I've been thrilled with how many grand openings I've been invited to in the last 6 months, because I can tell you my first 6 months in office, there wasn't a whole lot of that either. You know, maybe one a month or something. Now we're doing several a week. Businesses are starting up again. We're definitely seeing an uptick in our revenues. It's not where we would like it to be, but having met with economists of various stripes in the last few weeks, they seem to think that as long as the federal government can solve its problems come January, depending on who wins what election and so forth, if they can work things out, then things look good going forward for Arizona, and they're expecting a rip-roaring economy again by 2015.
Well, you know, it is an interesting point that you raise the point. You know, if you look at the entire Phoenix area, it's tremendous amenities, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, you know, we've got a zoo. We've got all the world-class kind of things, you know, the sporting.
My friends who visit can't believe all the different things you can do. Plus, you can go to Flagstaff and ski.
Absolutely.
You can go to Sedona. I mean, it's unbelievable what's within driving distance. Really.
Yeah, it is. And I guess maybe that's what warps the viewpoint, because mm-hmm. having grown up back east, you know, I'm used to everything concentrated in one area.
Right.
For example, you can walk in Manhattan, and you can walk from an apartment complex into the zoo, literally.
Right.
You know, so through Central Park. So I think maybe that's what it is.
Philadelphia, Boston, you have all the historical sites. You're absolutely right. I've done all that, you know, with the walking
yeah.
tours and so forth, and it's terrific for families. But
and the other weird thing is the other weird thing is we are the state capital, which people tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the capital, on the other hand, was built, you know, 20 major blocks away from the heart of the downtown. So if the downtown were sort of integrated more, had it been planned differently, then you'd at least have the government buildings right downtown. Instead, they're kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere, right?
Well, they've tried to make it nicer down there for the centennial.
Yeah.
You know, they planted some palm trees and widened the roads and everything, and it was a nice project.
Right.
But obviously, it came right at tough times, frankly, when I was in the Senate. I had to decide, do we want to keep locking up prisoners and educating students, or do we want to pay for a nicer capital? And frankly, I voted for the former. I thought that was the right. I thought that's what citizens would want me to do, because we did have rather elaborate plans. So a little bit of money got spent down there, but not maybe as much as should be. That is something that just came up the other day about how the Capitol looks and so forth. It's a 50-something-year-old building.
Yeah.
The power is in the 70s. You know, it's just not nice and pretty like you would see in Illinois where the Capitol
is. Yeah, exactly.
Back,
and it's not integrated into the downtown area.
Teddy Roosevelt never served there. Abraham Lincoln didn't give a speech there. We don't have that kind of thing, really. And that's unfortunate, but it's also the nature of being a new state. And, you know, our state's only 100 years old. I've had that discussion, for example, with Michael Crow. You know, Harvard has the huge endowment. Of course, they also had a 300-something-year head start. So it's not that surprising when you put it in that context.
Hey, you know, while we're on that, before we have to go here shortly,
sure.
What do you think of this 1 cent sales tax, since our guest never showed up for some reason?
Well, I am against the 1 cent sales tax. Frankly, I was privy to some polling today that makes me think that one's going to be a close one. I think that going forward, you know, it was promised to voters. I voted against it when I was in the Senate. Part of the reason I voted against it, I understood the need for the revenue at the time when the state was really short. But, you know, these things tend to become permanent, and we're going to have one of the highest sales taxes if this goes through in the country. We'll continue to have, because we do now.
And I don't think it's really helped the education in this city or state. Have you? Do you?
We could debate help or hurt, but I really think it undermines voter confidence when things are promised that this is going to go away in 3 years guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once the money gets spent, it's really hard to cut that cord. And, you know, now I think we're looking at a situation where it may actually pass and it may be permanent. And voters maybe will get used to that concept. But again, if you're going to boost us up to some of the highest sales taxes in the country, then I'm expecting some of the best schools in the country.
Or right,
some,
right.
Some, you know, people have to have, you know, my sister lives in downtown Chicago and she's paying some of the higher property taxes, or property taxes 4 or 5 times what ours are. And then she's also paying the highest, I think they are actually the highest sales tax in the country, in Cook County. I mean, you know, and a lot of times these folks don't even send their kids to public school.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
amazing.
That's kind of hard to justify.
Hard to justify.
You know, that tends to make citizens angry, and I don't blame them. So we've got to have some bang for the buck.
All right. Well, listen, we really thank you, Jim Waring, a great guy, for being on the show. We'll have you on again, and good luck to you. Doing
really
the work of the people.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, doing the work of the people on the city council, a fiscal conservative and a great guy. Okay. Well, we will, that's Jack, Dennis, and Katie now. We'll see you all, or at least we'll talk to you all, next week, Wednesday, 4 to 5, Legalese, KFNX. Thanks for listening.
Quarterback, class clown, a natural leader. For those who died in the Vietnam War, the greatest tribute is to see them not just as names on the wall, but as the people they were. The Education Center at the Wall will put faces to the names. It will preserve photos, letters, and mementos of veterans, so their stories and sacrifice will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., KFNX News Time. It's